Now, my wife told me this morning I was speaking a bit soft, so, you know, if I'm getting... Okay? What we're going to do is have a look at the real truth about Jesus Christ. Have a look at them. We'll first have a look at the Old Testament message.
Put my toys over there.
Sorry?
I'm sorry, I just said I put my toys over there. I'm sorry.
Okay. And we're going to have a look at the birth of Jesus, what, and the promises, what everything related, and then at the end of it, what does it relate, how does it relate to us? Now, I've got a lot of information, we want to go through it fairly rapidly, so what we're going to do, it doesn't come up too clear, does it? The Old Testament promises about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophecies, there's many prophecies that tell us that there's a Messiah coming. This Messiah would be King of Israel. It tells us of his birth, it tells us of his ancestry, it tells us of his life, and it tells us of his death. And this is all recorded in the Old Testament, long before Jesus was even on the scene. And when we have a look at some of those quotes, there's some mind-blowing prophecies there that, you know, that I even hadn't seen before.
Don't you think surely another
one
after that? That's not the end.
No, no.
It should be his resurrection.
I know. Well, his death and the resurrection and his return. And oh, okay. Keep, so see, where are you going to stop?
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
We've only got 3/4 of an hour.
The birth comes before the
death. This is a bad colour. I'm sorry about this. Many events in the life of Jesus were predicted in the... And here's just a few of them, you know. It was predicted that he would come out from the tribe of Judah. And that was recorded in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. You remember the story when Jacob was blessing his sons, and it was Judah saying that...
Yeah, good, thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah,
okay. Saying that the Messiah was going to come... Sorry?
Or maybe turn these off.
Yeah, whichever.
Yes,
yeah.
I did that last week. It was a lot
better. I wasn't here last week. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, we see.
Can the Wongawai-eyed see all right?
Yeah. Can we flick it back to the one before? Just,
you know.
Oh, no, it probably doesn't go backwards, does it? You know, we're
feeling
backward,
Wongawai.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So just to write these down, you know, just...
We're only here for 3/4 of an hour,
yeah,
John.
I know.
Are you a fast writer?
You know, once we get right, keep going.
Yeah, okay.
First,
you've all seen?
Death. Yeah. Fourth ancestry. Oh. Life and death.
Okay.
There you go.
Here we go. We're gone.
That's helping.
Mm-hmm.
That he would come from the tribe of Judah is recorded, prophesied in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. With all these prophecies, I've only picked one.
Yeah.
You know, because there's many.
Mm-hmm.
I could have picked others as well, but we just picked one. Genesis 49, verse 10, and it's fulfilled in Luke chapter 3, verse 33. It tells us that he was to be a descendant of David, a direct descendant. And anybody who wanted to be picky, to be sure, and if they wanted to, didn't accept that Jesus was the Son of God, Joseph... went down, his line went down to David, and so did Mary, but through a different line. Okay, but they both went down to David. And that's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 13, and is fulfilled in Matthew. We're told that he's going to be born in Bethlehem, and Micah tells us that in chapter 5, verse 2, and it's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. So, yeah. There's only 3 of them. Then he says that he would be born of a virgin. And that would be something very hard to accept, because, you know, that's almost impossible unless God was involved. He would live in Galilee. He would be called a Galilean. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And remember that one, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 4. Now he would be rejected. Now everybody should know this nearly know this chapter here off by heart, that he was to be rejected and by his brethren. And it was fulfilled in John chapter 1, verse 11. Isaiah 53, I think if you sit down and read it slowly, it's one of the saddest chapters in the Bible. He would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And you find that in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. And John fulfilled it in chapter 12, verse 13, 15. You all got that?
No, not yet. Not quite.
We will, yes. This way, no. I just give the printout.
Okay. Well,
you mean, when you say that, he came to Jerusalem many times.
Hmm?
He came to Jerusalem many times, but that's the last time he came in.
On a donkey.
Yeah.
He didn't always come on a donkey.
Yeah, on that particular prophecy, when he came in riding on a donkey, he only came in riding on a donkey once, that is recorded.
Mm.
He would be executed. And again, we go back to Isaiah 53. It tells us that, and it's, of course, with his crucifixion. Now, apart from Helen, who can tell me, like it says, that he would be crucified? What is so very unusual about that prophecy?
Yes, because a lot of people were crucified by the Romans,
What a sign. This is extremely unusual. Actually, it's the opposite of what you just said. Because this is in the time of David, and the Romans hadn't come into Jerusalem, and there was no such thing as crucifixion. They wouldn't know what it was.
Oh, I see.
But the Bible tells us that he's going to be crucified.
Yes, and they didn't know about crucifixion.
No, crucifixion was an unheard of thing at that time. And there's a few things like that in these ones that you can find.
Well, how would they have had a word for them?
Well, the Bible says that he was going to be crucified. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you look at Psalm 22, verse 16, let's have a look and see what it says.
Yeah, how can they have a word for something they didn't
do? They might have invented the word. That's the action of crucifixion.
Well, perhaps they just said... Mm-hmm.
So it's the action of crucifixion that's being described in Psalm 22.
Try to escape.
Okay. What, have you got it there? 16. Oh, you read it, Mark?
Yes, Psalm 22 verse 16 says, "For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet."
Yeah. Well, you see, execution and that at that time was stoning.
Oh, yes.
So it was totally different. They would cast lots for his clothing, and again, that would come in with Psalm 22, because Psalm 22 is a crucifixion psalm. Very sad to read. And finally,
they must have wondered when that was said, what the heck are you talking about then, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
you see,
in their feet, they'd say, come on,
prophecy.
Yeah, but if you look at that psalm, have you still got that psalm there?
Yes.
Yeah, look at, I think it's verse 1 and 2, what does it say?
My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Okay, now when Christ cried that out on the cross, what should the Jews who knew their Bible quite well, what should they have done?
Remember
what should have been the first thing they did?
Remember this.
They should have gone, that's Psalm 22 he's quoting. Mm-hmm. What is Psalm 22 about? They cast lots for my clothing. They pierced his hands and his feet.
Mm.
They did. He's executed between thieves. He's, you know, it's all there.
Yeah.
The whole crucifixion saga is there. He was drawing their mind to the execution, to Psalm 22, and yet they couldn't see it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Now, one of the things in life for you and me, there's only one thing that is certain.
Taxes and death.
Well, death and taxes, they always say, but death, yeah. It is sad that with all the evidence of Christ, the Old and New Testament, that we've just seen, and there's heaps more,
yeah.
We've only just scratched the surface, people still ignore their responsibilities, what they require. They are born, they live, they die, and that's the end of the story. Eat and drink, and for tomorrow we die. What are people doing instead? Well, have a look at this graph.
Why are you done?
Here we have world wars, and this is going back to the 17th century, you know, and these are fairly accurate, and death by the millions, you know, this one here reaches around about, say, 4 million. That's in the 17th century. 18th century, about 5 million. 19th century, around about the same. But this one here, 1900 to 1945, brings in the two world wars that we know as we know them. First and Second World War. And there you've got 40 million, just over 40 million people. Then after the Second World War, and this is only half a century, this is only half a century, look at that, you know, 70 million people have died. All war victims. I'd hate to think what, from 2000 to 2013, only 13 years, you know, I think that in 13 years they would have gone past that graph.
They're getting better and better at killing each other, aren't they?
Yeah.
What about the population stable itself? Has that increased to that ratio as well?
I don't know. No. I don't know.
Because I know that
yes. All I wanted to find was how many people, you know, they literally murder each other in wars. You know, you can go with other things as well, but in wars you can get disasters and all this sort of thing. These are still happening as well, but this is just war death.
All the different weapons are getting more sophisticated, aren't they?
Getting more sophisticated.
The atomic bomb can kill more people than you can with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, and that's all, you know, if they said, if the world population, if the big powers, the superpowers, for 1 week stopped spending money on armaments and wars, there'd be enough to feed every man, woman and child on this earth.
There'd also be a big depression. There'd be a big depression.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that doesn't include famine and pestilence, does it?
No.
That's just war.
That is, yeah. So it gives you an idea. So
where did you get that from, Leah? Yeah.
So
where did you get that from?
Oh, that was from the net. Mm. Yeah. And when you try, I tried to find out from 2000 to 2013, but every time it takes you back, you know, back as well. I just wanted those 13 years.
Mm. 1900 to 1945, that didn't surprise me at all.
No.
The last one really surprised me.
Yeah, yeah. Because how many wars, there's wars all over the place, everywhere you look. Mm. Yeah.
And like Dan says, the population has exploded as well, so that means more death.
But you see, wherever you look, every time you look anywhere, you know, there's wars and people killing each other. And I remember when I was a boy, and this is a bad thing to say, but when I was a boy, the most valuable commodity on earth was human life.
Yes.
Now it's the cheapest. You know, the cheapest commodity you can get
such
is human life.
Such sophisticated weapons, they've got missiles that they can aim at other countries.
Yep.
So when you say wars, like plain murder is not counted in that
figure in wars,
at all.
Just wars.
So like Korean War.
I had to
Korean War is there. So how do you make
Afghanistan and
so you've got names for it.
Well, you know, and you put them all together, you know, and the net will pick it up for you, no problem.
Probably there's more than that there, because you've got places like Egypt now, there's a war going on.
So yeah, but that I don't know whether that was before or after 2000.
Yeah.
You know?
But all those things are not
Yeah, but those are wars as well.
Yeah. So, the IRA, is that class as a war?
I've just reading a book about the IRA. That was the slaughter of God in Ireland.
Okay, let's carry on. So why did God create man on the earth? And why does man die? You know, has the purpose of God failed? Is death the end? Is it finished? You know, is that it?
They kill each other, that's for sure.
Well, okay, what is God's plan? In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, he says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So we are here for one reason only, to give God pleasure. Not for us, for our benefit. No, let's not misunderstand that. We are here for one purpose only, and that is to give God pleasure. Isaiah 46 says, "I make known the ends from the beginning, from the ancient times, or what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. We're here for God's pleasure. We're here to give God pleasure. You know, so if we look at our life, you know, only each one of us can look into our life, say for the last week, did we honestly give God pleasure in the things that we said and did? And the final one, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Okay? And that, by the way, is not a hypothesis. The promises of God, he, you know, now we've done, I'm just going to skip through these because we've done a series on the promises, and I think you were all here. I don't know if John was here, but we did the promises. It was the promises to Adam and Eve, very, very vital. And this is the cornerstone of Bible teaching, I believe, is the promises. Yes. Promises to Adam and Eve is in Genesis 3, verse 15. Promises to Abraham, and the promises to David. Now, those are the three cornerstone promises that were given. And 99.9% of religions out in the world have got no idea when you ask them about the promises. They've got no idea. That there is the cornerstone of religious teaching, of Bible teaching.
Basis.
Hmm?
The basis.
Yeah. Without that, without these promises, the Bible just falls flat. Everything falls flat. Oh, sorry. Did you get them?
Can we get the last
one? Click back a minute.
Yeah. You see, the one, for those that haven't done the promises one, if you add to that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and it says, unto us a great and precious promise is made, and these promises will give you eternal life. That's what basically what it is. These promises will give you eternal life. So you have to ask yourself a twofold question. A, what are the promises? And B, where can I find them? Because your life depends on it. Literally.
Reminds you of the government, isn't it? Promises, promises.
Yeah, but you see, these are not just a casual promise that God made. These are deep promises. Yeah, these are specific. Mm. Yeah.
Divine.
Specific promises. Yeah. Mm. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the promises refer to just a single seed, and it's always remarkable that it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise to Adam and Eve here in the Hebrew, instead of going to the one in Genesis, we'll have a look at the one in Hebrews. Since the children of flesh have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, and that is the devil. So basically what that is saying is that Christ took on our nature. He was flesh and blood, human, like you and me, exactly the same. And by his death, he destroyed the devil. End of story. He destroyed the devil. So, that was one of the promises.
So the devil holds the power of death. Well, I could just ask you, last night we looked at a movie called Impossible.
Well, the devil, see, the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
Sorry, the devil, which is the same thing, you know, i.e. the devil, Satan, sin, is, if you follow that, you can only, it says you can't follow God and mammon.
No, of course not.
So therefore, if you follow the devil or sin, you die.
The tsunami in the Philippines, which was the greatest catastrophe ever known on the planet, it said in the movie.
Yeah, time and chance happens to all.
Yeah, and John and I both thought, well, if God is the supreme power on earth, how, because these are all innocent people, it wasn't a war, there were just 5,000 people wiped out in one day, how would God, who has the power of life and death, destroy all these people for no reason? But I can't believe that a God of love would do it. So it says here that the devil has the power of death.
Yeah,
so I like to think it was the devil.
What is, you see, if you follow this through, and you've done cross-referencing?
Yeah.
If you do cross-referencing, from this one, you'll take you into Romans and all this, and you will find that this verse, and it talks here, instead of the devil, it talks about sin.
Mm.
Sin and devil are synonymous. They are interchangeable.
Yes.
So the basic, so the basic word means to oppose.
Yeah.
Opposition. Yeah.
And opposes and God.
Satan. Satan is only, all Satan is an adversary. Anybody who's opposed, good or bad, you can get a good Satan and you can get a bad Satan. Yeah. You know, anybody who's opposed to what you want.
So that the evil in the world caused the tsunami, do you think? I don't understand.
Time and chance, you know, it happens. Yeah. It's the same as what Jesus says, you know, the tower that fell on these people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of these things that happened. It's time and chance.
Look at Sodom and Gomorrah, though.
Yeah, you know, but that was a judgment from God.
That was judgment for homosexuality.
Yeah, and we don't know whether God used that as a judgment. We don't know. No. That is up to God, you know, and we cannot
question it.
You know, we cannot question that, because he could have used that as a judgment. We don't know, you know. But the time is coming when things are going to happen that are worse, much worse than what we do see there. Anyway,
I think one of the other things
is leaving a question behind, so that by his death,
yes,
he might destroy him who holds the power of death.
Yes.
How by his death, did he destroy death? You have to front that question, don't you?
Yeah. What was it about Jesus' death that you could say that he overcame?
He was sinless.
He was sinless, he was. Mm-hmm. And by dying sinless and doing the will of God, being a sinless, therefore he overcame and he destroyed. He destroyed death in himself.
But a lot of those little children that were killed, because there's bodies everywhere, they were sinless.
We don't know.
Well, there are 2 years old babies.
Yeah, but you know, you take for instance, just this is just because we're getting into the realm.
I don't want to interfere, but it's just something that bothers me so much.
So why is a person killed with a car accident? Yeah. Why does this happen?
Can I bring up one piece? And this is, you know, I'm not going to go into the realms of God's judgment because that's where we're headed. What we looked at this morning, even in the exhort, is that we've got to be absolutely sure that we don't say, God, you're wrong, what you've done. See, when Joshua came into the land, he was told, you kill everybody, men, women, and children. The reason, and he was given the reason for it, was that the men and women were already sinners, wicked, and the children were already contaminated by what the parents believed and taught. And therefore, everything had to be cleansed completely. When Samuel, remember, came to Saul, and Saul said, no, who saved this? And God was very angry with him for him doing that. God says, you do it my way or not at all.
Well, just a moment, please. I was just going to say that we always say, and I called out that he died, he was sinless, but actually he lived, he was sinless when he was living.
That's right, and there's
the hope for us, that we can't get away from the fact of Adam and Eve, but we can, in our own hope and faith, is to try to live without sin.
That's true, that's true. Yeah, well, you see, we will never get to be like what Jesus was and die a sinless man. You know, you can take for us to say, okay, the last week, can anybody put their hand up and say, I didn't sin last week?
No.
So it just gives you an idea, you know.
I shouldn't have brought it up. It just bothered John and I. We talked about it for hours and we just couldn't get an answer.
Yeah, it is a hard one to understand.
It's hard, yeah.
Anyway, the promise of Abraham to Jesus, and that was what was, see, the promise that God made to Adam and Eve was what, basically, just in a nutshell, what was it that God promised to Adam and Eve?
That life would be tough. They'd have to
work. No, in a nutshell.
But the seed are
going to die.
No, he promised them a savior.
The seed of the
savior.
Would stand on the hill.
What was Abraham promised?
A
savior. Nation,
wasn't
it?
Nation. Mm-hmm.
Look north, south, east, and west. What was he promised?
Land.
He was promised a land. Mm-hmm. The land. That's right. And what land was Abraham promised?
Canaan.
The land of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
where he was standing. Look from the place where you are standing, north, south, east and west. All the land you see, I will give it to you and to your seed for an everlasting inheritance. Okay. David, what was David promised?
A kingdom.
What was that?
A kingdom.
A kingdom.
Mm.
Yeah. And this one here, that is the king. The promised king. Although he was still a babe, and he still had a lot to do before he got to the point of being a king, no, he was promised, that was the promised king to David. So those are the three promises, basic promises. Now, each one of us here will acknowledge the world is in a mess. It's in a very big mess. And it's not going to get any better. All right? And we're not going to be rescued by friendly aliens, are we? There's no friendly aliens going to come down and rescue us. And we're all going to die. Each and every one of us.
But we are the aliens.
Friendly, are you friendly again?
Speak for yourself. Yeah.
We're
all, now, although I put up here, we're all going to die. There is one exception. Can anybody think of it?
Well, if Christ returns before we die.
That's right. If Christ was to return this afternoon and we're still all, you know, those that are going to the judgment seat and those that are, hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, they won't die. They will go straight into the kingdom. Okay? There's going to be a point at which, you know, somewhere there's going to be a point when Christ returns and there's people that are going to come and they are not going to die. But whether we're part of it, I don't know. Anyway, so surely there's more to life than just doom and gloom that so many fear, isn't there? Must be. So, we believe that there is. We honestly believe that there is. And this is the answer. The news is not all bad. Actually, it's good. It's good news. As in Corinthians, it says in chapter 15, for since death came through a man, which is, who was that man?
Adam.
Adam, there you are. The resurrection of the dead came also through a man.
Jesus.
For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. Okay? And that could be you and I. And this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And a lot of people misunderstand that, and they say, use that to teach that Christ is part God, because they say, see, look what it says, you know. But it actually, if you look what it says, and listen to what it says, it says exactly the opposite of what you believe. Unto us a child is born, that tells us about the birth of Christ. Unto us a son is given, that tells us about the death of Christ. And the government will be on, what's this word? Will be. It will be on his shoulders. It's not, is on his shoulders. It will be. Or as the King James says, shall be. And it will, and he will be called Honorable Counsel, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, or the increase of his government. So therefore, it is something that's in the future. It was never at his birth. It was never at his death. It is something in the future, even beyond our time, that this is going to happen. And in case, you know, people are wondering, and we won't go too deep into this, this is for you to do as homework and see if you can find it. There's four names that he's going to be called. He's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those four names are all four archangels. And it says in Philippians that his name is going to be higher than any of the angels. He's going to be better than any of the angels. That's what it says in Hebrew, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth. Okay? So you can see if you can find the four archangels that are in those four names.
He's telling.
No? Okay. Yeah. I'm a racer.
Michael.
Yes, very much.
Well, yeah. Okay. Mary said, his mercy is on those that fear him from generation to generation. And actually, an interesting thing is, if you look at what Mary said, Mary's prayer, it was a beautiful prayer, what she said, when she was speaking to Elizabeth, remember when, just before Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, and this is what she was saying. And if you compare what Hannah said when she conceived Samuel, it's very much on the same line as what Mary said, very much in the same direction, you know. And both of these wonderful women of faith came out with the same thing, by the Spirit of God. The shepherds are told, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which will be to all people. For it is born unto you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. Interesting thing, if you read this, where the angel speaks to the shepherd, you will find that what happens is a shepherd comes along and he gives them the message from God. He passes a message on. And as soon as the message has been passed on, then it appears as though the whole heavenly host just could not contain himself. And it says that the whole host of heaven just burst out into song of great joy in what had just happened. It's a beautiful picture. And Simeon, this was when Mary brought Jesus to the temple to be circumcised and for her to be dedicated. So he was able to, your salvation which he had prepared before the face of the people, a light to bring salvation to the Gentiles, to you and to me. That's what this Jesus has done for us. But Jesus is still not here, is he? Now, Jesus will return, and that's what the true hope, our true hope is. Without that, we might as well curl up and die. There's nothing left. Talks about the resurrection. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up there? This same Jesus, exactly the same one you've just seen going into heaven, the same one, is going to come back in the same way as you've seen him go. He's going to come back in the same manner, exactly the same as you've seen him go. So Jesus' birth was only just the start. Jesus was born to be the Son of God. He was born to be the Son of Man through Mary, who was God was the Son of God because the Father was his Father. Mary was his mother, so he's the Son of Man. He was born to be a Saviour, and he's born to be the Judge of all men. He's born to be Prince of Peace. And he was born to be the great king. Remember where it says that Jerusalem is the city of the great king.
That's in a sense one of the reasons why the world is in the strife it is today, because they killed the Prince of Peace.
Mm. Yeah, mm. That's right.
That includes your storms and all those other things.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, that's what Jesus was born to. You, each and every one of us, were born to die. And one day, as sure as you pay taxes, you will die. But you can be born again through faith in Jesus, and that is through baptism. And what is required? Well, you must repent and be baptized into the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way. Absolutely no other way. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. And so many people misunderstand that. What God has given you is a gift. You know, you cannot buy it, you cannot earn it, you cannot do anything to get it. God wants to give it to you.
It's through mercy.
And it says in the Bible, He's God is absolutely dying to give you that gift. And people are saying, nah, I don't want it. I saw, some time ago a TV program, and these chaps were standing in the main street of Auckland trying to give away $5 notes, and they couldn't. There's a catch. No, don't want it. And they wouldn't take it. You know, too good to be true. And they don't want, God says, I want to give you this gift. I want to give it to you. So this is where we are now. You and I, we're standing here. We can see that up ahead. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that doesn't believe shall be condemned. Now the trouble is, the only problem we've got, each one of us is standing here. Someone might be standing here. Someone might be standing here.
Vic and I are right up on the fire.
But how much, what we've got to say is, how much time have we got? Yeah. Can we say, okay, I've got another 5 years. I might be standing here. I've only got another 3 days. I might only have 24 hours.
If you can overtake, there's no yellow lines.
Yeah. So some of us, and I might be wrong, some of us might not even make it home. Yeah. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But if you don't believe, believe what? Well, what we've just been talking about. You know, how many of us know fully what the promises of God are to us, to you and me? And if we know it, how many of us will say, yeah, okay, I'll do something about it. And John, yours.
Okay.
Thank you.